Chapter 4, Getting Ready. After Evan had gone home that night, the professor sat down at his desk. The glow from his phone lit up the darkened paradise room. For a few moments, he leaned back in his padded chair and gazed up at the peaceful sky. Little stars twinkled through the crisscross panes of glass which formed the strong greenhouse structure. It wasn't often that Jack LeMans took time to relax, but now, finally, everything was ready. The intense preparations were over, and his new world was alive and fully functional. The cow moved over the speakers, and Jack smiled. What a lovely sound, he thought to himself. I can't wait to sit in here and listen to the children talking to each other. Finally, my little family will have a beautiful world of their own. For a few more minutes, Jack enjoyed his quiet reverie. As an only child growing up, he'd often wished he'd been one of many siblings. Now, as a lonely adult, he yearned for a family. In many ways, he was living his life in dreams again through the Tinies, even though he tried to tell himself and Evan that he would remain detached, as this was primarily a research project. In all truthfulness, tomorrow's entrance into paradise was just as exciting for him as he hoped it would be for them. A cricket chirp alerted him to an incoming message. Louis was requesting to talk, just as he always did once all the children were in bed. Down in the nursery, Louis had access to a small private soundproof chamber with a smartphone. It was here that he had communicated with the professor since his earliest days. It was here that he had done his remote learning, watching educational videos, reading, studying, and answering questions online. Pressing the White Dove app, the professor answered the video call. "Hi," Louis said, with a smile lighting up his aging face. "How'd it go today? I heard the doors open and the animals leave. Are they enjoying paradise?" "They are loving it," the professor rejoiced. "All went well today. Tomorrow you and the children will join them and see for yourselves." "I'm so thrilled to hear this," Louis exclaimed. "I probably won't sleep tonight just thinking about it." "Well, we do have some last-minute things to go over," the professor relayed with a chuckle. "So I'm glad you weren't planning a long sleep. Did you take the first aid exam?" "Yes," Louis smiled. "I scored 89 out of 90. I only missed one of the four signs of a stroke." "Well done," the professor praised earnestly. He was very proud of Louis's abilities to learn and recall information. "Did you finish all the swimming videos?" Louis sighed. "I've watched at least 20, and I feel I understand the theory. It just may be a little hard to teach something I've never done before myself." "No doubt," the professor agreed, raising his eyebrows and nodding vigorously. "Teaching the kids to swim will be challenging. Hopefully some will catch on quickly and be able to demonstrate the strokes to others." "I spent a lot of time reading about drowning prevention and water safety tips," Louis assured him. "I am trying to emphasize this with all the children before anyone steps a foot into the water." "Good, good. There'll be much fun to be had in the lake. I want them all to enjoy it fully. But the water does pose one of the greatest risks to their safety. I do sometimes wonder if perhaps a shallow wading pool might have been a better option. But then they couldn't fish or..." "I will help them stay safe," Louis promised. "Thank you." "What lessons do you want me to cover when we're finished with swimming and water safety?" Louis asked. "I'll be sending in some more books," the professor told him. "It's important to get their reading level up so they can read complex instructions on how to build and create. And we should cover fractions, multiplication, and division. I also want them to understand their anatomy so we can delve into first aid when they're a few months older." "Should we look at animal care?" Louis suggested. "Ah, yes. I have some excellent books and materials on this. To be good stewards of paradise, they will need to understand the importance of feeding and training the animals. I'll be sending in kibble for the cat and dogs and pellets for the birds and chickens, but the others will be fine on vegetarian diets or fish. Anyway, you'll see all that exact information in the notes I'll be sending in." "We should improve their writing skills so that they can communicate well in the future." "Yes, yes," Jack LeMans agreed. "I've printed some small workbooks for that purpose. And then there will be so many practical things to learn, like measuring, using a saw to cut building boards, framing houses, windows and doors, growing gardens, food preparation, useful chemical reactions, maintaining forests, catching fish. You've got plenty to cover for at least a year." The conversation shifted to the principles of servant leadership, which the professor had been gradually sharing with Louis night after night, ever since the children were little. He wanted to be sure that Paradise would be led by selfless example and with plenty of kindness, empathy, and love. Thankfully, Louis was very receptive to the concepts. He was naturally a kind and loving individual who had enjoyed the children coming into his life from day one, even if the first 2 months of diapers and bottles had occasionally overwhelmed him. "What are the 10 most important principles of servant leadership?" the professor quizzed. Louis had them well memorized, and he listed them out. Listening, empathy, healing, awareness, persuasion, conceptualization, foresight, stewardship, commitment to growth, and building community. Excellent. For at least an hour, they discussed some of the principles in more depth. Louis was fully committed to the ideas, and even in the nursery, he had often demonstrated his understanding in amazing ways. "I have full confidence in you, Louis," the professor smiled. "I'll never forget all the mornings I would walk past the nursery and see you asleep in your bed with numerous babies on each side." "Ah, yes, some just couldn't go to sleep on their own," Louis reminisced with a chuckle. "I'd fall asleep patting their backs." "You did well," the professor praised. "I wish you hadn't been so alone looking after them. As you know, it's not what I intended." Louis sighed. It would have been wonderful to have had another tiny his own age, especially a wife. But after 4 years on his own, the children were a welcome addition. "I'm very happy I'm not all alone anymore," Louis assured him. "It was a lot of work for a couple of months, but now I look forward to every day. I love the children. Sharing paradise with them would be my dream come true." "Tomorrow, then," the professor promised earnestly. "As soon as you've all had breakfast, I'll open the doors and you can walk in." "Tomorrow," Louis reiterated, "tomorrow will be the day."